Pray for me, brother. Do need your prayers as I stand before you this afternoon, just as always, and I do appreciate the humble petition that's already been brought forward by Brother Charles. Thankful to see you this afternoon as we've gathered in this place once again to worship the Lord. The hymn writer said, "Brethren, we've meant to worship and to adore the Lord our God." And I do ask you to pray with all your power that the Lord would bless us with what we need to be able to do that. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read from the second chapter of the book of Luke this afternoon. And probably going to read quite a bit, so I do encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to follow along. It's just a wonderful thing to read in the Bible, the wonderful truths that the Lord's left on record for us by inspiration of God, and know that this is indeed the truth. Of all the things we could read, there's nothing better than our Bibles to find the information that you and I really need in this world. If we're going to read anything, this is the best thing that we can read, and certainly can't encourage you enough to read it. But this particular passage is on the birth of our Savior, his coming into the world. And of course, we're at a time of year where men emphasize that, and that's well and good. But I would like to say from the onset to remember that this is not just to be emphasized this time of year, but all times. Every single day of our life, we should remember the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what a miraculous event that was. And what a change it made in the world. And what a change it's made in our individual lives and continues to make day in and day out. If it were not for his coming, well, we wouldn't be here this afternoon. If it were not for his coming, there would be no good news to share with God's people. There'd be no gospel, be no words of comfort, no words of consolation. But the fact is that our Lord did come, and he came to do what the Father sent him to do. He accomplished that. He has gone back to be with his Father in heaven, seated on the right hand of the Father. And yet he's also, I believe, present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and also in the hearts of all of God's children. He's taken up his abode in our hearts. And what a wonderful, powerful Savior we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I preach today, I want to preach Jesus, and preach Jesus not just being born, but living and dying and a resurrected Savior and a complete victorious Savior. And this account will give us that, as well as any other place in the Bible. If we really preach the Jesus of the Bible, we will have a powerful, victorious, wonderful Savior. The Old Testament said his name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that's who Jesus is. The government is upon his shoulder. And I'm thankful to know that today and want to declare that. So we'll go ahead and read the passage. I'm going to probably read quite a bit. So it's beginning at verse 1 of Luke 2. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." It's hard not to stop reading a little bit and make some comments. All of the things we're reading here, if we could take the time to go back and look in the Old Testament, you would see passage after passage that were fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the place that he was born, from the parents that he was born to, his mother Mary, and his supposed to be father Joseph. We know that Joseph was supposed by those to be his father, but we know he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And his mother Mary and all the lineage that of both Joseph and Mary, all of the places where Jesus went, what he did and as a babe, all of those things, as we go back and look at the Old Testament, we could go prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled with the coming of our Lord. And when the Apostle Paul, while he was Saul, he didn't believe these things. But once the Lord got finished with him as an Apostle Paul, he, as a Jew, often declared from the Scripture, the Old Testament Scripture, the fulfillment of those Scriptures in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're reading this, or we're reading it together, remember the Old Testament prophecies were being fulfilled in this person as the Messiah, the anointed of the Lord that had come into the world and what he was coming for. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. A virgin had conceived of the Holy Ghost, and had brought forth a child. Unto us a son is given. And that child was Emmanuel. That child was God with us. And it says, because there was no room for them in the inn, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This is going to be a different night from them than they've ever had before. There's something going to happen here that they'd never seen before and they'd never heard before. No doubt their lives would be forever changed because of this little babe and this, what they're about to witness and see. And when we think about that, isn't that true with Jesus' interaction in our life? That once he has dealt with us, nothing is the same. Everything has changed. We can think differently about life, and we can think differently about death. We can think differently about everything that we face here in this world, because he lives, the hymn writer said, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone. All you got coming next week. A lot of us got a lot of things coming that could cause great fear. Remember, a little babe was born. That not only was born, but that grew up and that lived his life and did everything that the Father sent him to do and fulfilled the will of the Father in every degree. He fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle. But everything that he was supposed to do, he did. And he did it just the right way, the way he was supposed to do it. From his birth, throughout the entirety of his life, to his death, to the resurrection, to being seated on the right hand of the Father. As our high priest today, he sits on the right hand of the Father, so that when we pray, even the unction and the desire to pray come from him. Even the ability to be heard in heaven comes from him, whereby he is our everything. And just like his interaction with them and what they were blessed to see changed their lives, he has interacted with us and it's changed our lives, made us different. It's even brought us the fellowship and the friendship that you and I have this very night here, afternoon. I don't want to get into the night, but this afternoon. And here he says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. You know, sometimes as God's little children, that's where we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We feel sometimes we become fearful because we get overwhelmed. We see the Old Testament when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. What did he do? He fell down on his face before the Lord. And when John, the Revelator, the one who the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given unto John, when he saw the Lord in his glory, what did he do? He fell down on his face. And I hope you and I today, as we think about the Lord in his glory and able to see it by faith, I hope today we will. That's why we sing. Brethren, we meant to worship and to adore the Lord our God. We should fall down on our face before him in thanksgiving for his great love, wherewith he loved us, and for all that he's done for us. You know, we've had years of life, but if we just think about this year as we come to the close of it, and think about how the Lord's hand has been with us this year, how the Lord has supplied what we've stood in need of, and how he's opened things that we never would have dreamed of, and allowed us to have things that we certainly do not deserve, and his blessings. And, you know, if you go for a year, you can get overwhelmed. Even if you go for a day, you can get overwhelmed. I say to you, if we think about this very moment that the Lord's given us right now, and we count our blessings, and we name them one by one, and think about what the Lord has done for us, it can be almost frightening in the sense we realize, how could it be that the Lord would be so good to such a sinner as I am? And yet it's a reality for us because of the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God. And none of that would have been possible for us had the Father not sent His Son, had the Son not come, had the Son not done what the Father gave Him to do, and done it completely and in every way right, and fulfilled it completely, and finished that work as He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." If that had not had happened, well, all of the blessings, every single blessing that you and I have enjoyed in our life, can we not say to God be the glory, to Him be the honor and the praise? It says, "And they were so afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not." All angels here telling you what old preachers have been telling you and continue to tell you. Those of you, when we get afraid, listen, God's little children get afraid in this world. You ever get afraid? Absolutely. Well, what does the Bible say? Fear not. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And brethren, I believe that preparation that He made was when He went to the cross and died, that His life He lived to prepare a place. And His death was preparing a place. Not that heaven wasn't already prepared, but we would have never been able to enter that place that was prepared from the foundation of the world had He not been the door and the way. Not only that, we wouldn't have this place that we're enjoying this afternoon, where two or three are gathered together in His name, because there would have been none of us who would want it. There would have been none of us who could have seen it. There would be none of us who would have had it, because He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I believe He's given us this church. And He had the power to do it, and He has the power to keep it. And that's how you and I are here even this afternoon. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And that is all of the Lord's people. That is all of His chosen people. Out of every nation, all people, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of the rich, out of the poor, out of the Greek and the Jew, and of all nationalities of this world, the Lord had an elect, chosen people, as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, a number that no man can number. And this good tidings of great joy is to all of them. There are some who hear the story of Jesus and they don't love it. There are some who hate it and despise it. Some find it a stumbling block. Some find it a curse, and they stumble at the story and the message of the cross. But to those who are saved, both the Greek and the Jew, now that is those who've been touched in the heart by Almighty God, those who've been made alive, it's a joyful sound. It's glad tidings. It's good tidings of great joy. Sometimes people in this time of year want to talk about everything but Jesus. Want to mention everything. Talk about all kinds of things. And really, that's not only true this time of year. It's true every time of year. Brethren, it's a sad thing if we would gather here today and talk about anything but Jesus. Because He is the source of our redemption. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's the light of the world. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our all in all. And He said, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Why? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And I love this language because it didn't say unto everyone, it says unto you. It's unto God's children. Is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. He wasn't just born a baby. He was born a Savior. He wasn't born a baby who was going to grow up to be a Savior. It wasn't any possibility he'd be anything but the Savior that he is. And unto you is in the city of David is a Savior. And who is that Savior? He's Christ. That is the Messiah. That is the one who's been promised. That's the one who fulfilled all of these prophecies. And he is the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, to think about our Savior who made this world, who made all of the molecules, all of the elements, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the riches of this world. He's the one who made them. And of all the places that he might have been born that wouldn't have been worthy to have him, he was born like a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In the offering that was going to be made later on as a fulfillment of the Jewish law that he fulfilled in every jot and tittle. The family didn't have a lamb to offer. They had the pigeons and the turtle doves, which showed that the lowness in which he was born into this world. And remember the verses that said, though he were rich, yet he was made poor, that we might be made rich. And through his poverty, we were made rich. And he suffered in every way imaginable, in all manners, like unto us, except there was one thing different about Jesus. There was in all of his sufferings absolutely no sin. And we suffer sometimes because we messed up. He never suffered because he messed up. He suffered because we messed up. He suffered because of our sin. And he took our sins upon him. And in his whole life he lived it. From the cradle, so to speak, to the grave. His whole life, he suffered greatly in order that he might present himself a perfect sacrifice to Almighty God and pay a sin debt that we could not have paid in any other way. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God. What a day that would be to see a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. You know, one day in glory, I believe we're going to hear the angels praising God. I believe we're going to be joining in that wonderful. Matter of fact, we're going to sing a song that the angels can't sing. We're going to sing that song of redemption. Worthy art thou who was slain and has purchased us with our own blood. You see, the angels weren't purchased with his blood. The angels that are in heaven, they didn't need that redemption. They had not fallen. For those who had fallen, there was no redemption for them. But we had fallen into a state of death in trespasses and in sins. We're going to be able to sing that wonderful song of redemption in glory. What a day that's going to be. But here, suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I love when the Bible tells us about little Sister Mary. And you know, Sister Mary had been blessed so greatly. The Lord had sent an angel. Gabriel had told her about this child. And again, she still gets this message. We see her a little later on in times, seemingly to forget about exactly who this child was. But Mary pondered those things in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. I'll tell you, that's a good activity for us to be doing. To think about what the Lord's shown us, what He's allowed us to have, And in our lives, in our day-to-day walk, in our in every meeting we can get to, we ought to come and praise God and glorify Him. That's why I love our song service. We sing for a half an hour and we get to sing praises unto God, words that honor and glorify the Lord, a very, very important part of our worship service, to come before His presence with singing and lift up our voice in praise unto God. Then when we pray, we look unto the Lord and we give Him thanksgiving. Every prayer ought to be filled with thanksgiving. We make our petitions known unto the Lord. We let our requests be made unto the Lord. The Bible tells us to do it with thanksgiving. And we all have so much to be, on our worst day, we have so much to be thankful for. And then to hear the preaching of the gospel, it's the message of good news. It's like a cold water to a thirsty soul. It's good news from afar country. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus. We remember over in Matthew where it tells us, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? When the angel spoke to Joseph, Joseph was thinking, "I'm going to put her away privately." I know he, being a just man, he didn't want to bring any shame or reproach to her, but he found her to be with child, and not understanding that. And if you think about that, we would not understand that. The Lord then came to him and sent the angel to him and said, "Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? "For He shall," get this, "He shall save," not try to save, not want to save, not hope to save. Oh, may we preach this. We've tried our best to try to preach that this year. We've preached it in the past, but may every message that we preach always be, "He shall save," not maybe try, hope to, but "He shall save His people." He has a people. Listen, He has an elect people. He has a people that He's chosen in covenant before the foundation of the world. They are the all people that, for God so loved the world, it's the world of His elect people. He's known them in eternity past. He knew them and He chose them and He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. And Jesus came and died for them. And how many of them will He lose? Not one. Not one of them will come short of receiving that which He has bought and paid for. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." He was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. That word Jesus means Savior. Christ means the anointed one. He's the Savior that was anointed. He's the one that was anointed of the Lord to come. He was the Son that the Father sent. He was the one that the Spirit of God descended as in the form of a dove from heaven upon Him. He was anointed of the Spirit of God to comfort God's people. And He was the Comforter. Which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. Now 8 days and then about 33 days for this time of her, according to the law of her, the days of her purification. So Jesus is about 40 days old. When we get to the point of where we're looking here now, He says to present Him to the Lord, as it is written. There's a whole lot that we could get in on that, but if we did, we wouldn't get any farther. But it's some beautiful things to look up in Leviticus and see why these things were taking place, and to think about the pictures and the types and all the things that are fulfilled there. And said, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Where a lamb was what they should have offered because of their poverty and their situation, this was a seeming also acceptable sacrifice of 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, and that offering was made. And in this, you say, well, why would Jesus need any of that? Well, Jesus didn't need it for His cleansing or for anything that He had done. He didn't have a sinful nature. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, but He was made in every way like unto us. And he fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle. And he had to come in everything we would experience and have that way. Jesus took all of those things. He wouldn't have been the complete, perfect Savior if he had not done all of these things. And then we get to the fellow I wanted to talk about. And I'm not going to take a lot of time talking about him, but I wanted to read about him. And that's old Simeon. There was an old man named Simeon who had lived his life, no doubt looking at the law and by faith, by the grace of God, seeing the promise of the Messiah, seeing the promise of the one that was going to come, and had been blessed of God to know that, you know, what amazing thing that would be to know that I'm going to live, I will not die or leave this world until I see the Lord's Christ, until I see Him. And Simeon had spent his days waiting for that. Waiting for His coming. We can think about that a little bit. We're waiting for Him coming. We're not waiting for Him to come the first time. We're waiting for Him to come the second time. Aren't we? And He's coming. And you know, it would be an amazing thing for us to know that when that was going to be. But you know, He's told us we won't know that. But Simeon was blessed to know about His first coming. Simeon was blessed and told, he says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout." Now I want to say this. Simeon wasn't just and devout because Simeon was better than other people. Simeon was born in sin. Simeon was shapen in iniquity. Simeon was a just man because God had blessed him and brought him out of a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. And that He had given him a faith, which is the gift of God, whereby he was enabled to trust and depend upon the Lord. And as he walked depending upon the Lord, he walked in righteousness, pleasing the Lord. That isn't how he got to heaven, but that's how he had a fellowship with the Lord as he trusted and depended upon the Lord. If we want to do what's right today, we'll never get good enough to do what's right. We have to simply trust in the Lord. That's what He's told us to do. And as we trust in the Lord and lean upon Him, we'll do that which is right. And when we fail to trust in the Lord, guess what? We don't do what's right. We walk outside of being just. How do we find today peace with God? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So where should we be today? Believing and trusting in the Lord. Now, the way we get righteous before God, as far as heaven is concerned, is only one way. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And only in having trust and dependence upon the blood of Jesus can we find peace here in this world and do that which is right. When we sing in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord, we're not trusting on how good we're singing in order to get accepted with God. We're trusting in the blood of Jesus, washing away all that's wrong with us, aren't we? If the blood of Jesus doesn't wash away what's wrong with me, I'll never in this world be able to have fellowship and communion with the Lord. I'll never be able to preach in a way acceptable unto the Lord. I'll never be able to even greet my brethren in a way that's acceptable unto the Lord. I have to trust and lean totally upon what Jesus has done for me so that all the glory and all the honor and all the praise will belong unto the Lord. And it says, Simeon was a just and a devout. That means he was a religious man. He was one who was serving God. And get this, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the comfort of God's people. And I believe the Israel that's under consideration here is the spiritual Israel of God that's made out of not just the Jew, but also the Gentile of God's people, the elect, out of every nation and kindred and tongue. He's awaiting of the one who was going to comfort the Lord's people. Comfort ye, my people, is told us in Isaiah 40. And he says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was a prophet that was being given revelation by the Holy Ghost. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, he didn't just come to the temple for no reason. The Spirit said, you go to the temple. And as he went to the temple, when the parents brought in the child of Jesus, here's Joseph and Mary. Joseph, his supposed father, Mary, his mother, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, can you see Simeon taking this little babe and seeing, he didn't just see a baby. He didn't, you know, we see a baby, see a little one, we say, oh, they're cute and isn't they wonderful. He wasn't just like that. He saw this by the Spirit of Almighty God and the revelation of the Holy Ghost, and a declaration was made as a prophet of the Lord. He cried out, this child, he said, is the consolation of Israel. And he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And remember this, the Jesus was the Father's salvation. Jesus was the salvation you and I have came from the Lord. It's our salvation, but it's His salvation given unto us. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And I think about the precious the Lord we serve. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have a Lord that we serve that is loved by His people? But He's not loved by everybody in this world. There are those who despise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He divides us. He's the peace, but He's also the sword. He's the peace that pulls us together for God's people. But there's a division that's caused in the world and with the world. He is for a sign which shall be, it says, for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. We think of little sister Mary. How it must have been for her to know that her son was being crucified on the cross, and how she must have felt about that. No doubt this sword was pierced through her heart. But also, she also knew and had been given information that this one was the Savior, the consolation of Israel, the one that was sent a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And what a great, great, wonderful Savior we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just thank the Lord for the wonderful message He's given us in His Word. And may we share that and think about that and remember what the Lord has done for us, and give Him the honor and the praise and the glory that's due unto His name. And may God bless each and every one of you is my prayer.